Welcome to the Heights Sermon Series Podcast, where each week you'll hear a new message that'll help you with your life shaped by the Word.
Hey, we've had an incredible service already today with the worship, the dancers. It was actually incredible. We got introduced to Dylan, which is an incredible, excited to have him part of our staff. And then we had all these babies dedicated over here, which is incredible. There was one right here with a long white dress. Y'all were staring at her. That's my granddaughter, you know. It was great to see them, and I'm excited for them. And I've been excited about the sermon series. I mean, we came out of Easter, you know, which is a big thing. Hey, we're talking about, we're celebrating, you know, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And then, hey, we didn't leave it right there. Randy said, no, hey, what do we do with that? And so he said, hey, we've got to go out. We've got to tell this good news, right? And then we went in there last week and was talking about, hey, we need to love. We need to love to with the good news and love. We're here to go over and to try to change the world with this. And it's been exciting. We were sitting back there last week. And Randy, I was kind of really getting pumped up about, wow, man, he's tearing it up. And he's like, next week, he said, man, weeks 3 and 4, he's going to talk about how we're doing this as a church. And I'm thinking, man, this is going to be great. I'm talking to my wife, Karen, like, this is going to be really good. And then, gosh, I think it was Thursday, he came up to my office and he said, hey, you've been thinking about this, you know, week 3 and 4 with this application. He said, I think it would probably be good if you're the missions pastor. Why don't you do it? Like, what? I said, it's short time over here. And he said, well, you know, I've been struggling with this anyway. He said, you remember the last time you preached? And I said, well, it's been a while. He said, yeah, it was March 1st. Yeah, March 1st of 2020 was the last. He said, you preached, a week later, the world falls apart. And I'm thinking, yeah. I don't think I take credit for all of that, but yeah, you got a point there. And then he said, no, I said, I'll try to get something together. And I said, you know, looking at this week, it was 90 degrees on, what, Wednesday? It's chance of flurries today. I mean, it's just kind of this crazy thing when I get up here. But I will have to tell you, apparently I didn't do this in the first service. That was a joke. I had people over here. They're looking at Randy. They're pointing over here. I can't believe he did that to him. No, that was a joke. He didn't. We've been talking about this probably since probably November. We were talking about what Easter looked like and what would look like coming out of Easter and where we'd like to, you know, not just have this standalone Easter service over here, but it kind of gears things up for where we're going as a church and really, you know, kicks things off for the springtime. And so I said, yeah, there's definitely some things that I would like to share about missions, but it's more the technical piece, and I'll give you some background because I think there's so many, probably you see mission trips coming over here, you see Love 804. There's a lot of terminology thrown around and people are talking like half the people know what's going on, half the people don't. So I thought, hey, let me take a time to really kind of explain kind of what went into a mission strategy, because it may help you understand kind of like where we're going and what we're doing and why we're doing it. So I have to go back to, 2006, and I'm not going to take you year by year. But 2006, they hired me as the first missions pastor of Colonial Heights Baptist Church. And I was thinking, wow, that's great, man. I first mission pastor over here. So I get up in my office and I'm, you know, thinking, okay, well, this is great. You know, what do I do? You know, it's I'm kind of have never been a missions pastor before. And then I started getting you know, emails from, hey, listen, we're coming through the area. We'd like to speak at your church over here. We're from Kenya. We're from Montreal. We're from all over the world. We're coming through. We'd love to speak at your church. And people were calling and saying, hey, listen, would you support our ministry over here, or would you send us money from this, you know, every place overseas, even within the, hey, we're working with this tribe over here in that west. All these information started coming in, all these opportunities started coming in. I'm getting emails, I'm getting calls. When people were calling the church back then and somebody had an accent they couldn't understand, oh, send it to Wes, he's a missions pastor. I'm like, what? Yeah, I don't speak, just, you know. But anyway, all of that to say, I was hearing these stories, and I was like, I was getting excited about it. Like, yeah, I love what you're doing there. Man, you're doing this in Nigeria. You're doing this down in, you know, Uganda, Paraguay. I love everything that's going on. Yeah, we'll support all of this. And then I realized, wow, no, we can't support all of this. We can't, you know, I could have filled the pulpit for probably, gosh, 50 weeks of the year. Randy, you don't just preach. I got somebody coming in here every week, and you don't have to preach at all. But I realized, no, we couldn't do it all. And so I said, you know what? We need a strategy. We need a plan because, you know, it's not getting too business, but there is a limit on time, resources, and people. You can spread yourself really out really thin. And so I sat down and think, okay, if we're going to build a strategy, let's look at what it takes to build a missional strategy. Now, if my degree would have been in missiology or something, it would have been a little bit easier, but it wasn't. So I looked at what I had. And so the first thing we did, hey, listen, this is a church. We're trying to build a missional strategy for our church. Let's look at the scriptures. Okay, so you've seen a lot of these. Randy shared a lot of these on the first week. But we've got the Great Commission. We're to go into all the world. Go into all the world and make disciples, you know. Going to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, where you receive power once the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be his witness, to be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then Mark all talks about going into all the world and preaching the good news to everyone. And then we have, you know, this even kind of a local thing. We've got this Matthew 5:16, where it's talking about, hey, you're a light. You're a city set on a hill. Do good works. Let people see your good works. Why? So they will glorify my God, my Father in heaven. We've got this scriptural, and three of those is Jesus is getting ready to ascend, and he says, oh, yeah, listen, one more thing. Go. Take what you've seen, the good news, the gospel, take it. This is what he said as he's leaving. And so I said, okay, well, I've got the scriptural. If I'm building a strategy, I've got scriptural content. This is going to be easier to do. So I thought, okay, what else do you have? You know, what else are you bringing to the table? And I said, well, education. You know, hey, we've been trained over here. So I'm thinking, okay, Bachelor in Business Administration, JMU, Marketing and Advertising. Okay, well, let's see. That's about as far as that's going to go. I don't know how much that's going to help me. And so I said, well, I can look at work experience. You know, certainly I was 40 years old when I made the change over to the church. And so I looked at, okay, well, maybe something in my past will kind of help me build the strategy. So I started off as a defense contractor working in Department of Army and Department of Defense. And gosh, I was automating class 9. Does that mean anything to anybody? Okay, well, there you go. Thank you. Coming out of the desert storm, I had to help develop a purple suit system for class 1 using IDFO activity modeling. Anyway, if you're military, you've done these things, that meant something to me at the time. Anyway, but I was doing that for the military as a defense contractor. And then I went to work for the IMB, International Mission Board. And I was doing project management, organizational development, business process development, and I brought all of those on here and came to work in 2006. And I said, well, I've done research before, and so, okay, there's one more thing that I can do to kind of, as putting into the mix as far as building a strategy, and that's look at industry best practices. Okay, have you done that kind of stuff? Industry, hey, who's doing it and who's doing it well? So you start talking to mission pastors, I start talking to people that I worked with at the IMB, different people around. Hey, what's going on? What's really good with missions at your church? Tell me who the best churches are out there. And at that time, Randy said, hey, listen, there's a guy you need to talk to. There's a guy named Al Phillips. He's down in South Carolina. He'll tell you everything you need to know. And I was like, wow. I went and met with Al, talked to him multiple times. We're emailing back and forth. And I later found out that Al Phillips from First Baptist North Spartanburg at the time, he was the godfather of mission pastors. It's like everybody's like, oh, you know Al? Like, that was my calling card. I go and talk to different people, like, oh, I know Al. Like, but that was great. And so I had all these pieces. I said, okay, now that I've got all these pieces over here, I can start building a strategy. And so I built this strategy based on all of these pieces, except for I realized that there was one piece that I've learned as I was talking with these other churches, is I'm building a strategy, not a general missiological strategy for churches across the board. I was building a strategy for the Heights. Randy mentioned that last week. God has called us to be a steward of who he has brought here, and my stewardship was, you were to develop a mission strategy for the Heights at the time with the people that he has. And so I said, okay, that kind of narrows it down. And so as I'm starting to put this thing together, I'm like, wow, that was a process. It was probably a 2-year process of just talking to people. Now, I was doing other things besides just researching. I was working with singles. I was working with the widowed. I was working with college kids. I was doing other things. So I wasn't kind of wasting time for 2 years as I was developing. I actually had a job. And so I started pulling this stuff together, and there were some lessons that I learned. Okay, and the first one was that God is always working around us. He's always at work. He doesn't take a break. So I didn't know when I was applying for schools and getting a marketing degree that in 2006 I'm going to be a missions pastor. When I was developing and working on systems and working on processes with the military, I didn't know that I was going to be a missions pastor. When I was working at the IMB doing project management, I didn't know that this was going on. But God had me where he had me for a purpose there. And I think sometimes we get kind of in a rut that, you know what, I want to be used by God, I want to do things, but I'm waiting for this to happen. I'm waiting for this milestone over here. I'm waiting to get married. When I get married, me and my wife, we're going to do great things over here. Man, you're single, utilize that. I'm going to wait for this, I'm waiting for this job over here. I'm waiting for this promotion. I'm waiting for this move. I'm waiting for my kids to get bigger. I'm waiting for my kids to get out of the house. I'm waiting for my kids to get off the payroll. You know, whatever it is. Sometimes we can find ourselves wasting time when God says, no, in your situation, I've got something for you. Seek that. So that was the first thing that I realized in this whole thing. God wasn't on pause for 18 years by the time I graduated from college and started being a mission pastor in 2006. He didn't sit back and say, well, man, 18 years, you know, when Wes gets there, I got something for him. It was along the way. And so be thinking about that as well. The other thing that really hit me hard was when I was talking to people trying to learn about what other churches were doing, more than one time I heard, oh my gosh, this church was rocking and rolling in missions. But when this mission pastor left, they haven't really done anything since then. Or, yeah, they were doing really good, and then the mission pastor was called to the field, and then it just died. And when I'm learning, I'm trying to figure this thing out, that made an impression on me. And I realized, oh my gosh, if I go and I'm a mission pastor at the Heights for 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, if I leave and people say, you know what, hey, man, when Wes was here, we had missions, love, we had all this stuff going on. But no, he left or retired or got hit by a bus, whatever it was. We just died, and I realized very soon, man, it can't be about me. It can't be my job as a pastor, according to Ephesians 4, is to train the work of equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So everything that I do, I've got to have everybody kind of like coming along with me, because that's what I'm called to do, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. There was a quote that I saw, and it was, we were up in Newfoundland about a little over a year and a half ago, and these guys had these sweatshirts on. And the quote is from Nicholas von Zinzendorf, okay? And the quote is, preach the gospel, die and be forgotten. I'm like, wow. Preach the gospel, die and be forgotten. And I'm like, that's it. You know, I am a steward. I am responsible for the time that I have, where I am at this time in history. And so based on all of those things, I came up with the strategy that kind of guides everything that we're doing. And what I have is, we build our mission strategy based on the command in Scripture to equip you as part of our church and the purpose of building the kingdom. And I say our church because 1 Corinthians 12 says he's building the heights. The heights, if you're here as a member of this church, you're a part of this body. He has equipped you. He has given you spiritual gifts to be used within here. And because he has a work for us to do. Our church sits right here, April 21st, 2024, at the corner of Route 1 and Harrogate Road. And he has a thing for us to do. He has a mission for us to do. And so, knowing that it's based on scripture, it's you, it's us, for the work of the body to build the kingdom is what we're doing. And so, as I try to unpack all of this, I was thinking, I've got so much to say. I've got a lot to say. Man, this is big. And so, my handlers came out about a week ago, Ronnie and Randy, and they're like, Wes, you don't say everything. You can't. No, there's not enough time. You can't. I'm like, they're like, no, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Simple is more. Simple is more. Shorter is better. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I got so much. My head's about to explode. Randy's like, no, 30,000 feet, man. You're flying at 30,000 feet. You're doing this. You can't go into all this. I said, Randy, I got a lot of information. I've got a lot to unpack. If they're here till 2 or 3, I think they're going to be fine. And he said, Wes, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're going to, no, they're not going to be, they don't want to stay here. You may think you have a lot. Trust me, they don't want to be here till 2 or 3. So I said, okay, let me look at what I'm going to do. Let me look at what I'm going to hit on. And there are 3 facets. Then the good news is we're only covering 2 today. We're covering 2 out of 3. We're working 3rd one next week. But I realized last week, when Randy said, hey, listen, how many of y'all ever, we talk about Love 804, how many of y'all ever heard of Crestos? And I'm like, hey, you know, there's a lot of people who had no idea what you were saying. Some of the people were waiting for an interpretation. They're like, hey, man, what did he just say? Crestos, we're just talking about Love 804. So I realized, you know, based on the conversations, the questions that Kelly is my assistant, Kelly Heffernan, if you ask about missions, you're probably going to, she knows more than I do. So anyway, you ought to be up here. But anyway, Kelly and I work together. These are 2 big questions or conversations that we have with people that we want. Hey, listen, if I've got to keep it at 30,000 feet and I'm going to hit a couple things, let me hit these 2 things today. The first is overseas mission trips. And you're thinking, yeah, I've heard about those. People have done that. And I didn't think I'd be talking about this, but back in the day, before COVID, you're talking about burning with grease, man. I'm telling you, we had 8 to 10 mission trips going out a year. When we lined up with what was going on with the youth, there were years we had over 200, 250 people going out overseas on mission trips. And it was like, wow. And then COVID hit. And COVID, wow, it changed life. It changed everything. It changed things in the church. It changed things with missions. I was in a mission conference in January, and I ran into some friends of mine that were from Lubbock, Texas, and I said, "Man, I said y'all back rolling because they were bigger than us, and they were rocking and rolling." And I said, "Hey, are y'all back on about the speed?" And he said, "It was Ghana's wife." He said, "You know what? We haven't been overseas since before COVID." I said, "What?" This was church. They were doing twice. He said, "No, we haven't bounced back. We're really just kind of focusing locally." But I was like, "Wow." So yeah, I mean, so COVID kind of caused a lot of it. It kind of leveled the playing field with me and some of these guys that have been doing it for years, and leveled the playing field. We're all starting from scratch. We're all trying to figure out this thing of vaccinating, not vaccinating. Can you get into that country? What's required to get into that country? Can you get back into our country? And I tell you, that's just the COVID aspect of it. It was crazy. You look at some of our partnerships. We had a partnership with Haiti. And have you kept up with what's going on in Haiti? It's a mess at every level. I mean, they need our prayers. They need so much down there. When the field calls up and tells me, "Don't send a team down here. It's not safe. Do not go." We're not going to go. But you look at Haiti. You look at Ukraine. Man, we were getting ready and we started going there in 2010, 2020. We are getting things good. We're getting t-shirts printed up. This is our 10th anniversary of going to Ukraine. And then COVID hits, And then they get into the middle of a war. And I don't know what, you know, what people have seen. You know, people see things on the news, they hear about it, they don't hear about it, it's getting political and all this stuff. I can tell you, Todd, Veronica Gallagher that were sent out from our church, they are there. They are boots on the ground right now. They have, they are working with church, the church that we were working with. He is partnering with other churches within the country, and he's encouraging, he's taking supplies, things that he's getting. He's on the ground right now going. And so we're still contacting, we're still very much in communication with what he's doing, what he has, what his needs are. But they're on the ground running, and so thankful for what they've done. And then we have Zimbabwe. Yeah, Zimbabwe. Wow. Zimbabwe has its own issues. I don't know if historically you know what's Zimbabwe is one of those countries. You know, you go through Johannesburg and they're like, why are you going to Zimbabwe? Nobody goes to Zimbabwe. You know, it's just 95-96% unemployment. They're right in the middle of a terrible drought over here. It's middle April. They're not expecting rain until November. So if you can imagine what that does to a fledgling economy and what it does for food, what it does for feeding, all of that. So Zimbabwe's crazy and in a mess too, but we're going back. We're going back next week and to do ministry and to line things up for 2025. And then we have Nicaragua. And I love Nicaragua because Nicaragua, when I was first starting, Nicaragua was that place. When I couldn't spell missions, we were heading to Nicaragua, and we got on that horse early, and we rode it hard. I mean, we were going, it was, for most people, a lot of people here, it was our first mission trip there. It got me out of the gate really going international missions, coming out of COVID 2020. Nicaragua was the place that we were going, and we got back on that horse again. And I'm telling you, it is an incredible opportunity for us. We've got a trip in October. We've got three scheduled for 2025. We're going to have our team leaders out here next week. You'll get a chance to talk to them. But let me just a couple of little questions that come up. You know, like how much does it cost to go on a mission? I can't afford that. For Nicaragua, the average cost for a trip is about $3,000. And you think, wow, that's a lot of money. The church, most of the time, will cover 50% or more of that. So when people go, when you flip over to that missions book and you see we're giving missions funding, when you give to missions, a lot of that money is helping to scholarship and helping to fund people getting on the field. So so it's there working with Chosen Children. They have the compound. They have, you know what you're going to eat, you know what you're going to drink, you know what you're going to sleep, where you're going to sleep. You've got translators. You've got people with. There's an incredible amount of trust that we have. And you can do ministry from medical to work and do VBS camps to construction to door-to-door evangelism. It is just an incredible partner of ours. And so I would say, hey, next week, take advantage of that. The other place we wanted to hit was on partnerships. We're going to dive in deep with partnerships, deep and quick, right? You're going to find out who our partners are and how you can get involved with them. That and mission trips next week. And lastly, I want to talk about this little thing called Love 804. Yeah, we've heard it. It's great. A lot of people know it. They see the T-shirts. They're like, yeah, I love 804. I kind of know what that is, or I don't know what that is. When we start explaining what Love 804 is, it's like, I didn't realize that. And now we take part of the blame for that because when we first started Love 804, we had something called Crestos. Love 804 Crestos was a one-day event. We are going to go Crestos event, a Love 804 event. And so when people say, I want to get involved with Love 804, it was a one-time event. Well, I can tell you over the past few years, probably, going into 20 and especially coming out, we realize Love 804 is not a noun. Love 804 is a verb. It's what we do. We love 804. And so when you think, oh gosh, okay, if it's not, it's, we're all involved with Love 804. In the book, gosh, I put a Venn diagram in there on the page for Love 804. It's basically, and I was going to use that up here, but I thought nobody else has used it, so I'm not going to use a Venn diagram. Randy, Rico, Mike Osborne, none of these guys use that, so I'm not going to put that on the screen. But basically, Love 804 is our church partnering and doing things in our community. It's life groups. It's mission, our ministry partners, missions with our ministries within the church coming together to do Love 804 projects. And then it's the individual. Ultimately, the purest form is I love 804. What does that mean? That means I go to my neighbor. I look around. My group does 804. My life group does 804. That is what Love 804 is. It's a verb, not a noun. And the important part of understanding Love 804 is because Love 804 and our mission statement are two sides of the same coin. Our mission statement is building relationships that connect all people to God-sized life and love. Love 804 is the vehicle to build those relationships. And so you have done an incredible job of building those. We have things, I can't even count because of things going out here every week. Some things I know about, some things I don't, but it's going on because I see people posting things on Facebook and other social medias. But it's building those relationships. And so I have one page in the book that talks about missions versus missional. We want to make sure that we complete the rest of that mission statement because building relationships is great. But Love 804 can't end with just building relationships and doing things. It is connecting them to God. So we have got to make sure that as we're going, every place we go, every place we feed, every person we're sharing with is a step in the direction to share and connect them to God and connect them to the church. That's because if not, if we're just doing random things, which Randy said, we don't do random acts of kindness. No, we are very intentional about what we're doing. We're called to take the gospel. We're called to share the good news. And we do that through a lot of different vehicles. But Love 804 and doing that is what we do to take the gospel to our world and to our community. And that's what separates us from some, you know, civic organization or whatever that does different things. No, our calling is higher. We're called to take the gospel. And so, yeah, we can build relationship, but we've got to make sure they connect them to God-sized life and love. And I know, boy, I have flown not only at 30,000 feet, I have gone through here. The big things I want you guys to know is there is a method to the madness over here. When you hear missions, when you hear Love 804, like, oh my, what's going on? And listen, it is our mandate based on scripture for you to be involved with our church in building the kingdom. You are unique, our church is unique, and it takes all of us for kingdom work. The other thing is get your passport. Even if you don't know that you're going to take a trip, get your passport. That's a time-consuming process. Get a good picture because you're going to have it for 10 years. Mine runs out in 2 years, and I can't wait. Man, I look like, oh, my gosh, you look like a convict. But anyway, get your passport. And the last thing is that, remember, Love 804 is not a noun. It's a verb. It's what we do. It's what we do from the church level all the way to the individual where we're looking for opportunities to love the 804. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for those who are here. We pray, thank you for the opportunity that we have to, with a church that believes in going out, to come here on Sunday morning, get our socks blessed off, love and praise you, Father. But we take that good news and that excitement to a world that is hopeless, that needs love, and they need to know that somebody loves them, they need to know that you love them. We thank you for that. Again, we pray that as we go into next week, we look at opportunities that we have. We look at what it takes to be a success. What does success look like in missions in Love 804? We pray that you just be with us as we go into that and speak to us. Let us know what our next steps are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Hey, do you have one of those books?
Huh?
Those mission books?
Yeah.
Thank you, Wes. Y'all go ahead and clap for Wes. Grateful for him. Hey, he referred a number of times to the mission book. I think they handed one on the way in. Do y'all have one of these? Okay, good. Yeah, a lot of you do. If you didn't get one, thank you. If you didn't get one on the way out. It explains a lot of what's talked about in here and shows you our partnerships around the world, our partnerships here locally. Very grateful to Wes and the work he's done. I don't like comparing to other churches, but it's just a way to appreciate what Wes has done for the Heights Baptist. Folks, you go far and wide to find a church anywhere in the United States that is doing the level of mission work we're doing internationally and locally. Sometimes most don't do anything, right? And then you got some do international, some do local. Man, all that you can get involved in, a part of both of those things. And I'm just very grateful for Wes. I wanted you to know him. I want you to hear from him. You know, we just assume a lot. We say things we know, we think everybody understands and knows, kind of like the word Christos. And with it being a while since Wes has been up and is fearful, Wes, I mean, watch out the word. If it crashes this week, we'll never have Wes speak again. But I want you to know him and be able to hear him. We want to keep our missions, what we're doing. Basically, what we're doing this month in these four Sundays is we're having a one-weekend mission conference spread out over four Sundays. So many of you are involved in that. Obviously, all this stuff is happening, but there's so many that maybe have never really been introduced to it or understand all that. Next week will be real hands-on, and what I mean by that is we're going to have a very short message. And after the message, then you're going to have a chance to really look as an individual at what might be a fit for you, whether that's international or local or some kind of combination of both. You know, when I say what's a fit for you, I understand. I mean, I'm a person just like you, right? Why do we get up and go to church? Well, I mean, some maybe say sense of duty. You know, I love the Lord, and that's what I'm supposed to do. Other times, maybe we get up and go to church because we've got a need. And I'm hoping by being at church today that need gets met. And then you get here and you hear what I would call more of an administrative type message, understanding how something works and how we do it here at the Heights. And I understand it's easy to sit there and think, that's not what I got up and came to church for today. But you know what we're all looking for in anything you're dealing with this week? You're looking for a sense of strength, a sense of purpose, a sense of God's presence with you. And you know, you and I look for those things a lot of times while we're not doing the very thing God left us here to do. He left us here to go share the good news. He left us here to go show his love. And we want to take those two things and set them over here to the side. We assume somebody else has got that covered. Now, God, come and speak to me about all of this over here. And God said, hey, I'd love to speak to you, but I've already spoken. This is where the answers are. And that's really what this month is about, is all of us getting connected to each other, to God, and what he's left us here to be and do. And you'd be surprised how many answers are in that for the very things you're dealing with this week, whether you're looking forward to it or you're dreading it. So hope you come back next week with a sense of excitement and looking how you maybe be getting involved in going and sharing, going and telling, going and showing that love. Hey, maybe you're here today and you're thinking, hey, I know I want to be a part of this. You have questions about being a member of this church family, following the Lord in baptism. Maybe you want to know personally the Lord that we go to all these places for and to serve. If you've got questions about that, as we conclude here and go out these doors, there's a desk right in the center. Right above it, it says Next Steps. And just go out there and say, hey, I've got these questions, and they'd be happy to talk with you about that and help you make those decisions today if that's something you want to do. If you're a guest with us today, we have a little gift bag for you. If you've never gone by and gotten one of these, whether this is your first time here or maybe you've been here a number of times before, go out there and say, hey, I'm a guest. I want to get one of those red bags. It's got a journal in it. It's got information about our church. And here's the real prize. It's got a cookie. Go for the cookie. And it's one bag, but if there's more in your family, I think you can get cookies per family. Does that sound right? Yeah, go out there and say, the pastor said I could get one for everybody in my family. It'll be a different announcement next week, I can assure you that. So, but go out there and tell them what you have. Now, don't include your extended family that lives in Wisconsin, okay? This is, in your home, we've got a cookie for you. Thank you guys so much for being here. God bless. Have a great week.